your host, Zach Gelb.
What's happening? Hour number three of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. The Lakers last night are going home. The season's over. Denver advancing to round number two. We get Denver and Minnesota this weekend. And I can't wait for that matchup between those two teams with the high-flying Anthony Edwards.
When the Western Conference, when the other team is 2 hours behind you. So it's a primetime game for them. And I'm sure they deal with awkward start times all the time, you know, with games for them, probably starting 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, and they, you know, the puck probably drops out there at 5 p.m. on a routine basis, you know, sitting in rush hour traffic, listening to the Canucks on the radio, I'm sure, is a longstanding tradition out there for them. So, it's just one of those things. So, you know, we'll see. No, I'm excited, for the game. I'm also excited to see what kind of response the Predators will have. I mean, that's, to me, is what tonight is all about. Will the Predators get off the mat emotionally, physically? Are they able to get off the mat tonight? And you know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And to be honest, Darren, I'm having a hard time with something, and I wanted to run something past you.
Okay.
Is all the NHL coaches, do the NHL coaches give coach speak more than the other sports do? Because I've been listening to some of the coaches here, and there's a lot of what I would call coach speech, where they all basically sound some version of the same. Not to say there's not coach speak in other sports. There most certainly is. But the NHL seems to have a much more pop from their head coaches. They seem to have a much more polished coach speech than other teams, where I don't feel like I'm getting authentic feeling. I feel like I'm getting coach speak. I feel like I'm getting, well, you know, it's one game at a time. You know, every game is a new season. And, you know, I think our guys are going to get out there and try real hard tonight. And I think we played well in the last. I mean, everybody played well, you know, in the last game. No one, I have yet to hear an NHL coach, and maybe I haven't been listening to the right one. That's what I'm asking. I've yet to hear an NHL coach go, you know, we really didn't play well at all tonight. We played terribly, and that's why we lost 5-1. I don't typically hear that. I typically hear, you know, we played well other than that spot here and that spot there.
Well, I don't know what you're comparing it. Are you comparing it to football? I don't know what sport you're comparing it to. Because
let's compare it to football. Let's compare it to, you know, anything else. Well, college basketball. Okay.
There you go. College basketball and football are the same, and where I'm going with this.
Okay.
They don't play a series. Okay.
They don't.
They don't play a 7-game series. So think about it. The coach is required to talk, I believe, every day. I believe they're required to, the league makes, there has to be availability during a playoff series every day.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. That's why yesterday morning when they had availability at Signature Airport at 9 a.m. That was their media availability for the day.
Okay.
Okay. So they decided to do it. They didn't skate. They decided to do it at the airport.
Yeah.
I know, I've done all this. I've flown with the team.
Sure.
And you get there in the lobby, and the TV cameras are there.
Yeah.
You guys are there.
Yep.
You flip on your cameras, and the radio people, and the people with the Alex Gordy with the Tennessean.
It's so funny. I've done this for political events, but not for the Predators. But I'm sure it's the same setup.
And when you wrap up, the people who are going on the trip walk out the door.
Yeah.
Walk out the door,
and they get on the plane. Yeah.
And get on the tarmac.
Yeah.
And onto the plane.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's how it works. So you have a coach trying to talk about a team for about, how long has this series been going on now?
Oh, about a week.
So it's been over
about a week. Yeah.
Okay. It's been a little bit over a week. And think about if it goes, when series goes seven, you're talking about the same team, same opponent
for nearly 2 weeks. Yeah.
For a week and a half plus.
Yeah.
I guess my question to you would be, how creative can they really get with saying, I mean, what is there to say in a lot of cases? You know?
I understand. I understand that.
Like football and college basketball, you talk about the game that was played and then you're done. You don't talk about it again. Or you talk about the game leading up to the game and then you do the post game.
Okay.
And then that's it.
So what I'm hearing you suggest is, if I paid a little bit more attention to, say, Major League Baseball teams or NBA coaches during the playoff run, like we are now in the NBA, we would hear similar talk because they're in the middle of a series.
I feel that way, yes.
Okay. Now, I mean, I don't know that to be sure. I mean, because
first of
all,
every coach is different, right? So there's different personalities. And we all know in every sport, NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL, there are certain coaches that are very outspoken.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain coaches that are very short with you. There are certain coaches that give you great answers no matter what.
That is true.
Okay, Barry Trotz would talk no matter what. Okay, you didn't. Peter Laviolette, when they lose, get ready.
Okay.
It's going to be really quick. He's going to give you nothing, and he's going to shut it down really quick.
Mm.
That's Peter Laviolette. Well, guess what? The Rangers just swept the Capitals, so they don't have to worry about that. The media up there has been just fine because they just swept. But wait till Peter Laviolette team is down 0-2. Good luck with quotes. Good luck with those scrum sessions.
Okay.
Good luck with those post game.
Okay.
So everybody's different. John Hines, very nice. You know, I'm gonna try to make sure I don't misspeak on Andrew Burnett. I'll be honest. I didn't love his post game. Okay, we didn't even talk about this. I didn't love it because I just think there's
we talked about this briefly yesterday.
I didn't love, you know, the comments from the players that were made available, like Roman Josi. Like, and I've known Roman forever. Like, I respect the hell out of him. He's a great guy. He's a great hockey player, but he's the captain of the team. And I guess I'm talking more for the fans, Justin. I didn't love their response because at some point you do have to say, and I get it. I've told you about the mentality.
Yeah.
It's game to game. It's flush.
Yeah.
Don't get too high. Don't get too low. I've been through it all. I know how these series go. I know how the players are going to react. I know how the coaches are going to react. And that's the way they've been trained. But I also think when you lose like that, and dare I say what I said yesterday, you could make the argument, and I know because I've been there since day one, you could make the argument that was the biggest gag job in Predators franchise history.
Oh, yeah. No, I would agree.
You could make the case
that
was the biggest choke in franchise history.
Yeah, it was bad.
And the point is, it was at home in front of a home crowd in Smashville.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think, Justin, while I understand the mentality, while I understand how coaches think and how players think, and it's one game at a time, and you lose bad, it's like, okay,
we
understand. Right. Shake it and on to the next game. We got to figure out a way to win the next game. And all that's great. But I do think sometimes when we're talking about a game that possibly could go down as the worst gag job or choke job in franchise history, and it happened at home, I do think you owe the fans a little bit more than coach speak and player speak. That's just my personal opinion. And I don't know how you feel about it. I don't know how the listeners feel about it. I think I know how the listeners and the fans, but I do think they want more. Some don't care, but there's a whole lot that do. Sometimes they want to hear the player or the coach say, you know what, that's just simply unacceptable. That can't happen. It did. We're going to have to get past it, but it can't happen.
Yeah.
Okay? It's unacceptable to lose like that.
Yeah. And maybe you get some of that after the season is over.
No.
You won't.
No, you won't.
Okay. Then you're not going to get. I'm just.
Some coaches, I'm saying there are coaches that will go there, Justin.
Okay.
But they're more few and far between.
And that's the sense I'm getting. What I'm getting is that the culture, and maybe that's the better term I need to use here, the culture within the NHL seems to suggest that everyone, you know, post game tends to be more mild mannered. When we do when the coaches have meltdowns across all sports, when you can play the greatest tapes of coaches having meltdowns, whether you go to Lou Piniella, old school with, you know, in the baseball days, and, you know, there's lots of video of him and his antics, you know, out there on the field and in post game, and football coaches, and we could talk about Bobby Knight, and we could talk about a whole bunch of. I don't
have Green, Jim Mora. We all know the sound.
I don't have a whole lot of NHL to mix in there, as far as, you know, coaches who come out and say colorful things after very tough. Now, the NHL is also undercovered. compared to the rest of those sports. Yes. So maybe this has happened, and maybe there have been very popular personalities that we just haven't known anything about. So maybe that could be the case. I mean, I'm not really sure.
Last name Sutter, yes.
Okay.
Tortorella, Torts, for sure. Again, there are those coaches, ones that are difficult to deal with, especially in tough times, or sometimes they're just really, really difficult to deal with. If you remember the Shark series.
Yeah.
And I'm drawing blanks on the coach.
I don't know the coach now. But
in fact, I think it was Steve Wrigley that asked the question.
Steve Wrigley.
Yeah. You helped me with the TV personalities.
Sure.
I think it was Steve Wrigley.
Man.
But I'm not positive. And boy, did it create his question. And that
okay.
Sharks coach
All right.
was, let's just say, you wouldn't have been saying, man, coach speak. You wouldn't have been talking about coach speak.
Okay.
He was difficult to deal with.
Okay. Fair enough.
In that series.
Fair enough.
For the media, especially the Nashville media.
This is part of my learning curve then. That's what I'm going to chalk this up under. This is just part of my learning curve with the NHL about, you know, what it is that I understand or don't understand about it versus the outside looking in. It is painted as a much more approachable. They even say it about hockey players and hockey coaches that they're far more approachable.
That's very true.
Same thing said about NASCAR. When, you know, I was introduced to NASCAR, my first experience down there covering NASCAR at Talladega years ago, everybody was approachable. Everybody was amenable.
Open wheel.
Open.
The Indy cars are for sure very much
I've done
like
a little
that.
Bit with that. Yes, you're right. Everybody was approachable, amenable. Everybody was, well, you know, okay. But it was part of the culture. And the league, I was made aware that the league itself made sure to emphasize that because they were undercovered. And the last thing you want to do is alienate the media by being jerks, you know. And so everybody was open, amenable, almost XFL or USFL or what, you know, whatever they're doing. I mean, we're seeing stuff. If you ever watch those broadcasts, it's like unreal access, you know. But that's, then again, that's what their league is. They branded their league like that. And so I'm just wondering how much of what we're hearing from NHL coaches, because if this is their culture, how much of is it authentic what we're hearing from them after tough games, because I'm hearing a lot of the same tone over and over again. That's where I was coming from.
All right, let's take a break. Step aside. We'll come back to Steve Lehman from News Channel 5. We'll get into all things Titans. And, you know, we'll bounce the breads off him as well. And we'll do that next as you listen to the McFarland Show, WNSR. BuyAndTow.com. Get cash for junk cars. Do you have a vehicle that's become a problem? You can get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. They'll buy your vehicle no matter the condition, in your driveway, at your mechanic shop, or even on the side of the road. You can call them at 615-480-6473 or visit BuyAndTow.com. Get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. 615-480-6473, BuyAndTow.com. That's BuyAndTow.com.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you. We promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now, to learn more.
800-649-0142. 800-649-0142. 800-649-0142. That's 800-649-0142.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine. Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Hey, if you're looking for a place to catch all the hockey and hoops action this spring, look no further than the Alley Pub in Bellevue. And now here's Samantha to tell you about one of their great weekly specials.
Attention service industry. We want to say cheers to you at the Alley Pub, located at 7040 Highway 70 South in Bellevue. Every Wednesday night, bring a copy of your ABC card or pay stub to receive 20% off of your tab. Only at the Alley Pub, Bellevue's best sports bar and grill.
Atlanta Braves baseball is back, and the battle for a seventh straight division title is officially on.
Hit high and deep to left center. This has got a chance. Gone! Another home run for Olsen.
Tonight, stay up for some West Coast baseball from T-Mobile Park in Seattle as Matt Olson and the Braves take on the Seattle Mariners.
Pre-game coverage begins at 8:25 p.m. live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Honest opinions, genuine conversations. The McFarland Show.
Rolling along on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day. We are the McFarlands. Darren and Justin here with you. Don't forget, every day you can watch the show on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. You can also interact with us on our YouTube page. Just type in WNSR Live, one word. And that will take care of that. Our guy Johnny, and I don't know why my phone, he has, I don't know what just happened. But Johnny, it just.
Sometimes it does that.
My notifications just went away. I don't even understand that. Anyway, he said DeBoer as the coach. I don't believe so. I believe, Johnny, the coach I was thinking of was Ron Wilson. I believe that's who I was thinking of.
Okay.
Going back even further back, I think that was Ron Wilson when Wrigley was at Channel 4.
Okay, yes. Now, Steve
does
Wrigley.
That sound,
yeah.
Does that
Steve
time
Wrigley was
frame,
at Channel 4.
Does that time
sure.
frame match up?
It does.
Like 06, 07?
Yeah, when Steve Wrigley was at Channel 4, okay. Yeah, that time period yeah. would match up completely.
So, Johnny, I'm thinking of Ron Wilson. It wasn't DeBoer. So, but thanks for... pointing that you got my brain going, and then yeah. it was Ron Wilson. All right,
let's plus bring... you know DeBoer is the head coach of Alabama right now. No,
yes,
not, it's a different
yes,
guy.
Yes, sure, he's
different
sports.
Guy.
Yeah, switch sports. Steve Lehman, News Channel 5, joins us. Steve, how we doing?
It's a joke.
I'm doing well. You guys are going back in the way back machine, bringing up my guy Steve Wrigley.
Steve Wrigley,
Ron Wilson involved.
Do you remember that? I mean, you were not here. You've been here. Like 12 years, 11 years,
well,
Steve?
Well, I don't know what you're referring to by remember that, other than just those two humans being alive. But I certainly know Rick, so he's a good guy.
Well, Wrigley asked Ron Wilson, I don't remember the question in that series against the Sharks. He was the Sharks head coach. Because Justin was asking, he was like, is this typical? He's basically hearing a lot of coach speak, a lot of players speak. And I said, typically... in a seven-game series, you get a lot of this. But I said, look, that's not the case, though, with certain personalities. Like, there's plenty of coaches like Torts and, you know, Sutter. Daryl Sutter is one. And then I said, look, in fact, it happened in a Predators series. And, I can't remember what Wrigley asked him, but Ron Wilson lost his mind. And it went viral. And let's just say he was not very nice to the Nashville media the rest of the series.
It couldn't have gone viral because there was no such thing as viral in 2006.
Well, that's true. It went. How about it blew up here?
Okay.
It blew up here. So what do you make of what happened? Obviously, the Predators' playoff lives are on the line tonight in Vancouver. But what do you make of Sunday night? Even Friday, really. Friday and Sunday.
Yeah, I think what happened Sunday was just a lightning striking maybe twice type of thing that is sort of a once-in-a-generational type of moment in a bad way for the Predators. So I just think everything went against them. Obviously, the Canucks have been better with the man advantage throughout the series. They all of a sudden got life when they took the goalie off the ice and had the 6-on-5 advantage. Predators still had a chance to put it away. Colton Sissons, it's a difficult shot with his backhand, but it's one he's going to make most of the time. It hits just squarely off the post, where if it's an inch to the left, it caroms in, and they win the game that way. I felt in the last 15 seconds or so, it seemed to me like every Predator on the ice was trying to do too much as opposed to just do their job. And so you have a guy lose a skate, you have a guy get a little too far out, you have two guys diving to block a shot who don't block it, you get Saros coming too far out of the crease. You just had the perfect storm of bad in the last 3 minutes, and you wondered, was there any way they could bounce back in overtime? And the answer we found out very quickly was no. And so now the question is, can they bounce back in Game 5? And I look at it two ways, guys. It seems impossible for me that you can wipe the slate clean from Sunday and forget about that 3 minutes and 51 seconds that changed the complexion of this series and maybe the entire season for the Predators. It seems hard that you can bounce back from that and just be your best selves tonight in an arena that's going to be jacked as the Canucks look to move on into the second round for the first time in a long time. But if they can truly do the etch-a-sketch mindset that Andrew Brunette has made famous now in this series, the Predators have been the better team in this series, guys. They just have. They've controlled the play. In the last two games, they've played their best. Game 4 was better than Game 3, which was better than anything we saw in Vancouver. If they continue to do that and win some puck battles in the neutral zone, push the puck into smart places in the offensive zone, get on their forecheck, control puck possession, you heard Andrew Brunette talk about it, that if you keep doing the right things, at some point I believe you'll be rewarded and the hockey gods will smile upon you. I'm paraphrasing there. Mm-hmm. But the faith in the hockey religion is being tested right now for the Predators, but if they can keep that faith, they've done enough things in this series that they could go to Vancouver tonight, make things interesting, and if they steal that one, you're coming home with a chance to win a game and force Game 7, which anyone would have taken going into the series. So I'm not ready to say it's over, but I think the start tonight is very interesting just to see how they respond given what happened at the end of the game.
Yeah, what's their mindset? Yeah, that was one that I was talking about that Steve just brought up, Justin. Like, fans just don't want to hear about the hockey gods and all that stuff. They just don't. I mean, I understand it, and I know, but they just don't want to hear that after a loss like that. Because, Steve, I've already said it. I think you could absolutely make the case it's the biggest gag job in franchise history. Like, they've never had a worse playoff loss than that one. That is number one, and it was at home. And I think at some point, while I understand the dynamics with the coaches and the players, I get it. I've lived it. But I just think sometimes when you're talking about special circumstances like Sunday night, I think sometimes it wouldn't hurt just to come out and say, look, we have to move on. We have to get past this. You can throw in etch-a-sketch all you want, and that's fine, and keep rolling with that. But you could also say, you know what, but that's unacceptable. Like, that can't happen. And it did. And we're going to have to figure it out quick. But that just can't happen. There's no excuse for what happened. Fans deserve that. And you know, they just don't want to hear about hockey gods. I'm sorry. This is not how fans want to hear. People that paid their hard-earned money to be there on Sunday don't want to, you know, talk about puck luck or hockey gods after a loss like that.
Darren, I agree with you 100%. I didn't get the sense that they were making excuses for the collapse. I think they thought, to a man, it was unacceptable, and it ruined what was a good game. I guess the thing I'll ask back to you is, obviously we all know hockey is a game that's a sport in which sometimes the better team on the ice doesn't win, because the chances are such, kind of like soccer, where you can control play, but you get an unlucky bounce or something happens and you lose. That's not what happened at the end of the game Sunday. I'll agree with that. But for the course of four games, don't you think the Predators have been the better team in at least three of them?
I said yesterday on the show, the Predators should be up 3-1. But here's the deal. I've been warning everybody this whole season on this show. when 82 is over, you close the book and you toss it over in the corner because it doesn't mean anything now. It's a new season, and playoff hockey is completely different. Guess what? Sunday night, if that's game 47, they win 3-1 or 4-1. They get an empty netter.
Sure.
That's how it works. You know, Friday night, the 12 seconds, if that's game 52, they probably win that game. And that doesn't happen. But it's not. It's playoff hockey, and that's how it rolls. It doesn't. Nobody cares about the stat sheet. Nobody cares about who hit who more, who had more shots, face-off, who had more draws, they won more draws. Nobody cares about that stuff because sometimes, as we've seen many, many times over the years, crazy, crazy things happen in the playoffs, and that's how it works. That's why it's so magical, and that's why it's so hard.
Yeah, and it's why it's hard when you haven't been there before with a particular group to know how you're going to respond when adversity strikes the first time, and I don't think this team has done a particularly good job through four games. I'm not going to bring up hockey gods, but to follow the theme here, if you're a true believer in the hockey religion, every coach talks about the process, right? Do the right things, follow the process, and ultimately you'll be rewarded. And Darren, I've always thought, and you know this because I've talked to you for a long time about this, I have always thought that that is a brilliant mindset in the regular season, and it means squat in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Because the process will lead to the correct results over 82 games, but in a best-of-seven series, or particularly one game in the postseason, doesn't mean anything. You can dominate play. You can outshoot them 31-12, like the Preds did in Game 2, or be up 30-14 with a two-goal lead with 3 minutes to go in Game 4, and you can lose, because that's just the way the playoffs are. That's the way the sport of hockey is in a one-night scenario. But if you truly are a subscriber to the hockey religion, if you will, the Predators way back in this series is to play exactly how they did in Game 3 and Game 4. You will believe that over the course of a seven-game series, no matter how bad it looks now, that if you play the way they did, that you will be rewarded with the right things if you go to Vancouver tonight and you'll win and you'll come back home and you'll have a home game to get it to Game 7. That's what you have to believe if you're the Predators. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I think it's an incredibly tough task, and I would say it would be more shocking now for the Predators to erase this 3-1 deficit and come back and win the series with two games on the road than it was to watch the Canucks come back from 3-1 down with 3 minutes to go on Sunday. But if you're looking for a glimmer of hope, that's it. Your process has made you the better team in this series, and if you continue to play at that same level, you will get rewarded tonight, and you'll have a chance to extend the series and maybe win.
Your thoughts on the 7 draft picks that happened in Detroit for the Titans?
I think it was good. I liked it. It was worth being excited about. I don't think it was necessarily the guys people thought up front, but they got much bigger and more dynamic on both lines. And I think that Bill Callahan's endorsement of J.C. Latham and what they talk about within that building makes you believe that he was their guy. Even if Joe Alt may have been 1A on the board, it seems like they felt that J.C. Latham was at least 1B and that they can work with that. And I said it all spring that they had to go left tackle in the first round because they had to fix that position. And if they feel that strongly about J.C. Latham, I think they have. And that goes a long, long ways to helping Will Levis and helping this offense out. I like the T'Vondre Sweat pick a lot because the Titans have to get better on the defensive line, especially when you lose DeMeco Autry. And now you have just a mammoth space eater over there, which will free things up for Jeffrey Simmons. And then I knew based the way the board fell, the idea that you didn't have a third-round pick and all the other picks were geared up for Saturday, unless they got really tricky with how they were going to package something together to move into the third round or whatever, I wasn't sure what you'd be able to find in terms of an immediate impact guy or a starter on Saturday. But really, they needed a starter at linebacker and safety. And I think their fourth-round pick of Cedric Gray is a guy who's probably going to be a starter at linebacker right out of the gate. I think he's smart enough to come in and communicate and possibly even wear the green dot. But more than anything, guys, he's an athlete who can cover, and he is a terrific tackler. He led the FBS in tackles the last two seasons. So he's a guy who fits in right away. So I see potentially you get three starters out of these guys on day one. That would be enormous for them. The rest of them all are nice pieces. You see where they fit in, but I think they're depth guys. You still need a safety that they're probably going to have to find as a veteran pickup at some point here. There were too many holes to fill with just seven picks, but I think they did a good job with what they had to fill the holes that really needed to be filled.
Was J.C. Latham their guy all along, or if Joe Alt was there, was Joe Alt the pick?
It's a great question, Justin, and I'm not sure I really know the answer to that. Joe Alt was my guy, as I've told you guys many times before. Yeah. But they certainly made their case after they drafted him on Thursday night that they thought he was a one-of-a-kind type of guy. Bill Callahan loved him. I don't think they said this, but I've sort of heard through the grapevine that Bill Callahan had Latham as his number one offensive lineman on the board, which maybe he was their guy. But I do think at a minimum, just the idea that they didn't entertain trading back, Justin, tells you that even if Alt was 1A, as I put it a moment ago, that Latham was close enough to him that it was kind of a wash for them to get him at 7, and not what I think some people thought going in, that Alt was clearly the best tackle prospect in the draft, and then there was a drop-off after that. I feel pretty good that the Titans didn't view it that way, and even if they wanted Alt the most, they were thrilled to get Latham where they got him.
How much of this draft is basically, the way I'm looking at it, Steve, a cleanup from the John Robinson era, essentially? You know, Cedric Gray is here because Monty Rice didn't work out. And you can make that case for a lot of different guys going all the way down the pike, really, you know, because of other failed draft picks that, you know, we could spend the next hour talking about here. And I know a lot of people wanted them to trade down and try to get more picks or whatever, but it seems to me they decided they're just going to sit tight, take their medicine, and move forward here without finagling anymore and costing themselves more pick or going up and down the draft board again.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think one thing when you're trying to move up to get a guy in particular, you got to be pretty sure that guy's the guy that gets you over the hump or takes you to the next level, right? And I just think there's too many things that this team still needs to build or address that trying to package day three picks or using a pick from next year to try to get into the third round so maybe you get a safety or something like that just didn't make sense for this team. And they may go into training camp not feeling very good about whoever's going to start next to Amani Hooker. But you weren't going to fix, considering you were switching coaching staffs and therefore switching your offensive style and your defensive style, you just weren't going to solve every issue within the roster that wasn't very good in the first place and now has to be fit into new systems in one off season. And I think they did a pretty good job through what they did in free agency and the guys they picked up, particularly at wide receiver and at cornerback, those kind of skill position guys that they got with experience and talent, and they paid a lot of money for those guys. I think they did a good job bulking up the offensive line. And now in the draft, I think you hit enormous picks, literally enormous picks with Latham and Sweat for your offensive and defensive lines. And like I said, I like Gray as a potential day one starter and linebacker. It feels like what they've done is tried to address those holes and rebuild this roster, knowing that there are still more moves to be made, probably before they hit the field for good in training camp next fall, but also probably understanding that there's going to be a few spots that they still need to work on next offseason that is a part of this rebuild or retool or reorganization, however you want to define it.
I know this is fan talk, but that's okay because, you know, we're a sports talk show, so that's kind of what we do. But I've got good friends of mine in my group chats who are very upset or at least dismayed that the Titans continue to get bad draft grades from the Mel Kiper types. And, you know, that we're being disrespected and we're way down on the list again. And I thought this was all supposed to be better now and all that kind of stuff. The national perception that continues to, I think, Steve, sour some members of the fan base as far as what's supposed to be happening. I got a lot of folks who I know who are good Titans. They think it's a risk moving J.C. Latham from right to left. Oh, it's a project. Well, why do we don't need another project. Maybe he really wasn't worth that big of a pick if they're picking him this. I mean, it's all out there, and a lot of it comes from the national perception of the football team.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It is going to be interesting. Again, I go back to the Bill Callahan recommendation on this one and the fact that he has moved guys. In fact, a guy from Alabama before, mm-hmm. from right tackle to left tackle. If he thinks that he sees the traits there in J.C. Latham to do that, I believe in Bill Callahan to get it done. But it is going to be interesting. If somehow, and I don't anticipate this happening, but if somehow we get to the midpoint of next season and J.C. Latham isn't playing well, or they somehow decide they've got to move him to right tackle because it's not working there, I think there's got to be some serious criticism levied at that point on Rand Carthon, because left tackle was the biggest need for this team going into both of his first two drafts as general manager. And last year he picked a quote-unquote left tackle who was always slotted to be a left guard, and that's where they put him. And now this year he gets a guy who only played right tackle in college who they're hoping to slot at left tackle. If somehow that doesn't work, you've got to have some real questions about the decision-making and what they did there. But I do think that Bill Callahan's words should mean a lot here, and you should be expecting that J.C. Latham steps in on that side. Grading anything at this point, as you know, Justin, is so difficult. I mean, are any of these guys good? Do they fit in well? Can J.C. go to the left side? All of that stuff remains to be seen. Draft grades should frankly come 3 years from now, not 3 days after the draft. So I like what they did. I think I see the plan in what they did. Was it the best draft of the weekend? No. Are they the best team in the NFL after the draft? No. But I think they did what they needed to do within their rebuild, and we'll see what they put around it, how good they can be next fall, and then what needs to happen after that as well, because I don't think anybody expected this to be a three-month rebuild in the offseason with the new coaching staff, right? So this is a long-term process, and I think this weekend and those seven picks was just a step in that process.
By the way, how about picks 5 and 7? Are both, I mean, from what I can tell, are changing positions, right? Is Ault not going to start at right tackle for the Chargers?
Yeah.
Like, how about that? Yeah. Picks 5 and 7 are flipping sides.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy when you think about it.
Yeah.
Well, and just the idea, again, that those coaching staffs looked at both of those guys and said, I know everybody else out there thinks Latham's the right tackle and Ault's the left tackle, but we think that Ault is good enough and we can move him to that side and he'll be great, and vice versa for the Titans. And so it makes me wonder a little bit. All these guys who are out there, the Mel Kipers, the Todd McShays, the guys at NFL Network, the Dame Bruglers, all those, I like them. They serve a purpose. But they're all doing things their own way. They're not in the rooms. They don't know the exact systems that the teams have. And so when they then come out after the draft and say, there's no way J.C. Latham can move easily from the right to the left side, and meanwhile the Titans, with Bill Callahan in the room, are telling you, we see everything needed there to move him to the left side, who are you supposed to believe there? I'm going to side with the team and the people who have done this before, know exactly what they were looking for in that war room and in the scouting meetings for the last several months, until they prove me otherwise with their discretion and their viewpoints on those sort of things. So I believe in what they did there, and we'll find out, and then we can judge Mel Kiper and everybody's grades a few years from now.
Real quick, Steve, on the way out, we got about 30 seconds. What do you know about how? Do you think this guy they traded for from Cleveland gave up a seventh round pick? What was it? Was it Leroy Watson? Was that the guy that gave up the
Watson,
seventh round?
Wilson,
Leroy Watson. What do you think? Clearly, Bill Callahan knows something for them to give up a seventh round pick. Do you think he's in the plans to possibly be a starter?
I think he's going to compete for it. I don't know if he's a straight starter because he wasn't there.
Okay.
So I don't think guy that you're just plugging in immediately and saying, okay, he's going to be your new right guard or something like that. But I think there must have been something, to your point, that Bill Callahan saw enough of day-to-day in Cleveland that he looked at what he had here in Tennessee and said, this guy is certainly somebody who can come in and back up at multiple positions. But who knows? Maybe he can compete and change my mind on something there too. So It's interesting to make that trade right before the draft and give up the pick, but there must be something there that Bill Callahan liked. And I tell you what, guys, the more and more, I'm sorry I've ruined your 30 seconds here, but the more and more they talked about Bill Callahan, that guy's calling a lot of shots. And considering how much they need help on the offensive line, I'm okay with that right now because he's been around and he's got such a great track record there. So if he's saying, hey, we got to do this to make this offensive line gel and work, and then it works come the fall, then that's a home run. And I'm totally fine with Bill Callahan having that level of influence.
Yeah, it is interesting. Steve, appreciate the visit, as always. Thanks for doing this.
You bet, guys. See you next time.
Yep, have a great week. Steve Lehman, News Channel 5 is where you can find him, and we do appreciate him joining us. We'll take a break. We're wide open the rest of the hour. 615-844-5600 is the phone line and the text line as you listen to The McFarland Show here on WNSR.
The Locksmith Company, our full-service locksmithing expert, is proudly saluting our first responders. Their tireless effort should never go unnoticed. This message is brought to you by The Locksmith Company, a proud veteran employer. For all your residential, commercial, or automotive locksmithing needs, call today for a free estimate or 24/7 emergency service at 931-801-5427, 931-801-5427. And also visit the LSCO.com. The Locksmith Company is looking forward to seeing you.
Progressive presents good news, bad news, dumb news, then great news. Good news. A letter in your mailbox says you could save money bundling your home and auto insurance with Progressive. Bad news. You saw it after your teenager backed the car into the mailbox. Dumb news. A new mailbox, basically a box on a stick, costs up to $400. Great news. You decide to see if you could save money bundling at Progressive.com and go with paperless mail instead. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
The smarter way to treat your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket. And the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-617-0239. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and Yelp and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-617-0239. That's 800-617-0239. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
We were here when Eddie George left. We were here when Chris Johnson left. They had to move on too. And Derrick Henry is doing the same. These guys cannot stay forever. That's just the deal.
It's just what it is.
Derrick
Henry made it to 30, and most people are ready to put 30-year-old running backs out to pasture.
The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Today we'll have mixed clouds and sunshine. There could be a shower or thunderstorm. The high temperature will be 82. It'll be mainly clear tonight, the low 56. Wednesday is going to be sunny, high 86. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Text the Strike and Spare studio now at 615-844-5600. You're listening to The McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
It's true on this Tuesday. Braves back in Seattle tonight to take on the Mariners. 8:40 first pitch, 8:25 the coverage begins here on WNSR. Quick game last night, but unfortunately, Seattle scored two in the bottom of the ninth.
How about that?
And won 2-1. Mm. Braves had a no-hitter in the eighth.
Yeah.
And lost.
Got walked off.
Yeah. Lost 2-1.
Man.
Tough one. 615-844-5600. Let's go to Nate in Columbia. Nate, what's up?
Talk about all the last-minute games, guys. Isn't it a great time to be a sports fan?
Yeah. This is a...
Depending on which side you're on, obviously.
Well, it's still, it's a very, I think, a very underrated time of the year. April's a great month.
It is.
For sports.
But going back to the Preds conversation, and I didn't think of this until I was listening to a show earlier today. Do you think that the coach and player speak, at least with the Nashville Predators, also has to do with there's not necessarily an open locker room like you have in the, well, like you usually had, unlike, you know, for that little period of time in the NFL, where you can just go in for, what is it, like 30 minutes or something? Y'all can after the games and talk with basically any player you want. But instead, with Preds, and I guess it's NHL wide, they only give you like two to three players plus maybe the head coach to talk with after the game.
You get the head coach for sure, and I don't remember when this started, but I know that when I was doing the games, they would put the numbers up on the board for the, I guess, usually it was three players, two or three, depending on the situation, what happened, and those are the players that are made available. I don't know. I don't know if that's a Predators thing, Nate. I don't know if it's a league thing, because I never went and covered the other locker room. So I don't know... If it's an NHL thing or if it's a team thing, but I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, I do think that for a league that's searching and always looking for more, pub, it is interesting that this is your biggest stage. Look, if you want to do that for game 32, fine, but on your biggest stage and you've got more eyeballs on your product than you ever will. I don't know why you would minimize your coverage, but that's just me.
Well, I mean, the only reason I say that is because I know it's, without stating the obvious, you'll have more of a variety of, or at least you would think you have a more variety of answers the more people you, or more, I guess, team members you speak with. So that's the only thing that I was thinking about.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would say 18 is greater than 3. Yes. You have a chance of more good things. Yes.
Yes, that is true.
If you talk to 15 people as opposed to 3, there's a shot that you will get something, a better clip.
Absolutely.
Whatever you're looking for.
Your Kentucky math has served you well.
I know. Isn't it amazing? All that school paid off.
Good old bluegrass education.
That old Kentucky math.
Y'all have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Nate. You too.
Thank you, Nate.
All right, we'll take our final break, come back, and wrap up the first hour next.
When was the last time you did something fun with family, friends, coworkers, and clients? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers affordable entertainment for all ages? That's what you'll find at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro, with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville or Murfreesboro, where they feature additional fun with bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, Prevagen has been shown to improve memory. A Pharmacy Times National Survey of Pharmacists rated Prevagen the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand for the fifth year in a row. You can find it in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere without a prescription. Help your memory. Try Prevagen today. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And in the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. 800-462-3333.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's JB and the General.
We're going to re-sign Derek. We're going to bring Ryan back for one more year. I can win. With
the band is coming back.
What I mean, what happened last year? In the 11th hour, they signed D-Hop. But I strongly believe that Vrabel, at the last hour, you know, slammed his fist on the table and said, I can win with this team. Let's not start the rebuild.
Weekdays 9 to 11, live on WNSR.
Welcome back to the Strike and Spare Studios. You're listening to The McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Well, I'd go out to Vancouver at 3:30. We'll check in with our guy Alex Doherty, covers the team for the Tennessean. They are, let's see, they're done with morning skate. He's probably working the room.
It's no longer morning out there.
No.
They've shifted.
They have shifted.
To the PM.
And then he's got to write a quick story, and then he's going to hop on with us.
So okay.
He's trying to juggle a lot of things before jumping. I think they were on the ice at 1:30 our time. So.
Okay. Yeah, well, that they're done,
and he's probably worked the room already, and probably, posting a story, and then he'll join us in about 30 minutes.
This segment of the McFarland Show is brought to you by buyandtow.com. You can call 615-480-6473. Get your cash in your hand today and get that vehicle hauled away. Again, that's buyandtow.com, 615-480-6473. So, you know, Darren, you were talking about a number of things that are happening here, and I know a lot of people have been responding to us on social media and other places. Kind of a nervous feeling about tonight is what I'm, you know, Johnny talking about. He's looking for positive mojo here. And I don't know if you're going to, again, can the Preds get off the mat? I don't know. Every game is supposed to be a new season. I don't know how they don't have some carryover, either good or bad, from game four. I don't know how you can just leave that in the rear view. I don't think you can.
I told you, I've seen this too many times, and I know the minute you're going one, two, three, you're counting them out.
Yeah.
This is not just the Predators. Anybody in the Stanley Cup playoffs, I see it so many times. They have found a way to pick themselves off the mat and get the next game. So, again, I will not be surprised at all if they win this game. Not surprised.
All right.
At all. A lot of people do not believe it, but I think... Don't be surprised if they go out and win. All right, come back. Hour number two next.
On air and online, Sports Radio WNSR. Brentwood, Nashville.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In New York, Columbia University students speaking to reporters about the pro-Palestinian demonstrations on campus over the past 12 days, saying the encampments have been peaceful. The student, who did not identify herself, defended demonstrators barricading themselves inside Hamilton Hall, saying campus officials refused to talk.
Students and community members are risking suspension and arrest to end the true state of emergency on campus. Columbia's complicity in the genocide in Gaza.
Columbia officials demanding protesters leave the building and encampments due to violations of campus policy. A judge fined Donald Trump $9,000 today for gag order violations in the hush money trial, barring Trump from making disparaging comments about witnesses. And Haiti's transition council sworn in last week has named Edgard LeBlanc, a former Senate president, to lead the council. Armed gangs continue to control much of the capital and country. This is ABC News.
The Omaha Steaks Spring Sale is the perfect time to get fired up for spring grilling. Head over to omahasteaks.com and save on all your favorites or discover something new. Plus, when you use promo code QUALITY at checkout, you'll get an extra $30 off your order. With 50% site-wide, you're going to want to hurry before the sale ends. Go to omahasteaks.com. Don't forget to use promo code QUALITY to get an extra $30 off at checkout. Minimum order may be required.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Start your experience at Bob's with the fried calamari or fresh scallops seared in Texas burnt honey. All the beef at Bob's Steak and Chop House are USDA prime cut, from the traditional fillet of tenderloin and ribeye to the adventurous Kansas City bone-in strip. They even have two different surf and turf options. And if you're looking for the other white meat, Bob's Steak and Chop House serves a dry-aged pork tomahawk with homemade applesauce. Fresh seafood is on the menu, from salmon to scampi, and even fresh lobster tail. For reservations, give them a call or log on to the Omni Nashville Hotel website. Bob's Steak and Chop House. At the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Listen, you can't handle the truth.
It's about to go off.
Live from the WNSR Strike and Spare Studios.
Just a bit outside.
Now back to the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Show me the money!
Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Alrighty then.
Now, the McFarland Show with Darren and Justin.
Second hour of the McFarland Show here on this Tuesday afternoon. Darren and Justin here with you. We're live in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. Final hour. We'll head out to Vancouver in less than 30 minutes. We'll talk about Game 5 with Alex Doherty from the Tennessean. Got a chance. By the way, I've been watching people's reaction to, and look, we had to react more to what the Titans did, and we touched on it briefly about really what the Falcons did the very next pick.
Oh, boy.
After the seventh pick. I will say this. There have been, I've seen some former players, I saw Kurt Warner and a couple other folks that have really come to say, hey, I had Michael Penix like second on my board behind Jaden Daniels, or, you know, I had Penix over Drake May. I had Penix, that, in other words, they were saying, I had him way higher than everybody else. Like, I think he's going to be better. He's got a chance to be better. Maybe the best one. Who knows? I mean,
who knows?
It really endorses
who knows
him.
Is right.
But here's the thing.
I don't know.
With all that being said, and so it did get my attention. I mean, people that have a much better eye, especially at that position, than me. Okay. Doesn't mean they're right, but it doesn't mean they're wrong either. But here's the problem that I had with it. It doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't make any sense for you to go give Kirk Cousins a $180 million contract and 100 of it guaranteed, to then go draft a 24-year-old quarterback.
Turn right around.
With the eighth pick in the draft. Like, it doesn't, like, okay, that's fine. If you say, hey, don't sleep on Michael Penix, he's going to be good in this league. Okay, fine. That's not my problem. We're missing the point. It doesn't make any sense for the Falcons to draft a guy that's going to hold a clipboard and give them no help. Going to give the guy they gave $100 million guaranteed no help, holding the clipboard, doing nothing at ages 24, 25, 26. And then I guess if they decide to move on from Cousins after a couple of years.
Yeah.
But the point of it is it doesn't make any sense. So you can defend drafting Michael Penix and say, hey, he's going to be better than all the rest. Okay, that's cool. Maybe he will be. It doesn't make sense for the Falcons to draft him. This is what started the whole Green Bay mess. This is exactly how the whole Aaron Rodgers thing ended in divorce.
Well,
you drafted, like, right now, today, after this past season, it maybe looks like Jordan Love was going to be a really good pick.
Sure.
Right? I mean,
looked that way.
And he's been sitting for a long time.
Yes.
We've been waiting for this for a long time. But you wasted all those years where you could have helped Aaron Rodgers sitting there with a guy that you drafted in the first round, giving your team no help.
Yeah.
Because he was holding a clipboard and practicing. That was it. That's the whole point. You can defend Michael Penix, and that's all right. I'll listen to experts.
Sure.
I'll listen to Hall of Famers who played the game and played it at that position.
Yes.
And if you want to say, you know what, Penix is going to be really good. Okay. I'm fine with that. Again, but we're missing the point. It doesn't make any sense for the Falcons to draft him.
No. No, not now. It's almost like two different people made the decision. And, you know, and it makes me wonder, because it doesn't make sense so much, it makes me wonder, well, who signed, you know, who signed Kirk Cousins to a $140 million contract? Like, was that an Arthur Blank? Did somebody else push that? Was this really their original idea to do this? When I say their, I mean the GM and the head coach. Was this their guy that they really wanted, or did they really want the quarterback all along? It's almost like two different people made the decision, because they don't work. They do not make sense together.
No, they don't work hand in hand.
So since they don't make any sense together, the only thing that does make sense to me is that one party was pushing, there was a power struggle, and one person won out over the other. And I don't know if that's Arthur Blank. I don't know if there's some minority owner somewhere. I don't know if, I don't know. I don't know where the power structure is that got to that decision. But that's the only thing that makes sense, is that there was some kind of power structure, or power struggle rather, and somebody won out. Somebody decided, okay, I'm going to sign Kirk Cousins. Okay, cool. But tell you what, in the first round of in the draft, I'm going to get my guy, okay? So you can go ahead and sign Kirk Cousins if you want to. But round one, that pick is mine, and I'm going to pick Michael Penix. And the Tide said, fine, go for it. Do you. And we're moving on. We're playing nice in front of the media, but behind the scenes, there's some kind of animosity. That, to me, makes more sense, even though what I just said is, you know, it's probably not the case. But to me, that makes more sense than what they actually did on the surface.
It would make way, and I mean way more serious, W with eight A's and a Y, way more serious if Michael Penix was at the age of Anthony Richardson.
Richardson. Yeah, 20,
20 years old, right?
Yeah.
Drafted him, he's 20 years old.
Yeah, raw.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, raw. You sit for a couple years. Oh, no. Maybe it's three. Okay, so what? So he's 23. Okay. But you're drafting a 24-year-old.
Well,
and you know he's going to sit for at least two. So he's going to be 26.
I've heard the arguments that, you know, NFL players are playing much longer now, and we don't have to, you know, you can get a lot. The prime of an NFL quarterback is much longer than it used to be, is what I've heard a lot of the TV talking people say. that, you know, NFL quarterback is no longer done at 33, 34, 35 years old, even though, I don't know, the arms die all the time. Listen, and we've seen it. People's arms just fall out of the socket at some point. It just happens. You lose the velocity. You lose the fastball. So is it, you know, when is it going to happen to Michael Penix Jr.? I have no idea. I have no idea. Is it possible? And listen, Kirk Cousins is 35, right?
Yeah.
35-year-old quarterbacks, do they stay healthy? Not typically.
Mm-mm.
You know, so is it possible that you've, you know, now, then again, why would you pay him all the money if you felt that way? I got you.
Some do.
Some do.
The ones that don't move. Look, and he doesn't run like Tom Brady did. Drew Brees did.
Yeah.
But, you know, those guys that did, they don't take off running. They tend to last. I mean, Drew Brees went to almost 40, right? Or 40.
Yeah.
Tom Brady went to 43.
But his arm eventually died, too. True. Drew Brees.
But those guys,
yeah.
I'm just saying, those guys didn't run. Kirk Cousins doesn't run.
Well, he got hurt last year and he didn't run.
Yeah.
So, true. I mean, you still have 35-year-old. Trust me. Believe me. I drive a 24-year-old car. I keep my car in fairly decent shape. But I still have 24-year-old parts in them that, you know, are liable to go on me at any given point, you know, knocking all the wood. I'm just saying, no matter how good of a shape that you can put fresh oil in, you still got 24-year-old belts, 24-year-old screws, 24-year-old all this other stuff that's going on inside of your car that you can't do any maintenance on until it goes. Same thing for the human body. You can do everything that you can possibly do to keep it up and going. At some point, those ligaments, those tendons, those muscles, they wear on you. Father Time is undefeated. Undefeated. Undisputed and undefeated. So, but no, I don't know what the Falcons are doing. And their explanations haven't made a lot of sense either. But again, the only thing that would make sense to me is there was some kind of power struggle. And, you know, maybe, just maybe, this is the best thing they can do to think of how to come up with a compromise.
Okay. Alex has just texted me and said his window is right now.
Oh.
So we're going to break.
Yeah.
Let's break. We'll head to Vancouver. We'll learn a little bit more about Game 5. We'll talk to Alex Doherty from the Tennessee, and we'll do that next here on WNSR.
Hey, Tennessee. Jeff Fisher here. Ready for edge-of-your-seat football action? The Nashville Cats are bringing it to you live.
I'm Eli Gold, and we promise you an electrifying experience with every play. Arena football is back. It's furious and full of fun. Join us for the greatest show on turf. Secure your tickets today at thenashvillecats.com and get ready to cheer for your Nashville Cats.
Gas, groceries, utilities, you name it. The price of everything is going up. And if you're stuck in a bad timeshare with rising maintenance fees, the financial burden can be crushing. It is time to get your finances in order and get the real facts about that timeshare that you are stuck in and your options to get rid of it. Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has been helping families out of horrible timeshares for over 10 years and has put together a complete timeshare exit information kit that he will send you absolutely free. To date, over 30,000 families have trusted Wesley Financial Group to help them out of financial hardship by getting them out of bad timeshares. Get the facts about how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation. Simply call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit and see how you can become timeshare free. Call 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. Once again, 800-462-3333.
Attention business owners, WNSR has some exciting opportunities for your business to thrive in the dynamic world of sports radio advertising. As the proud home of some of your favorite sports teams like the Atlanta Braves, Memphis Grizzlies, and more, we understand the power of sports in bringing people together and creating a passionate community. We believe that your business can become an integral part of this experience, reaching a diverse and engaged audience. Contact the WNSR sales team for an opportunity to discuss how Nashville's sports radio can elevate your brand to new heights. Whether you're interested in a specific sponsorship package or would like a customized solution, we are here to meet your advertising needs. Call 615-844-1039. 615-844-1039 or email saleswnsr@gmail.com. That's saleswnsr@gmail.com.
Hey, Tennessee, Jeff Fisher here. Ready for edge-of-your-seat football action? The Nashville Cats are bringing it to you live.
I'm Eli Gold, and we promise you an electrifying experience with every play. Arena football is back, it's furious, and full of fun. Join us for the greatest show on turf. Secure your tickets today at thenashvillecats.com and get ready to cheer for your Nashville Cats.
Atlanta Braves baseball is back, and the battle for a seventh straight division title is officially on.
Hit high and deep to left center. This has got a chance. Gone! Another home run for Olsen.
Tonight, stay up for some West Coast baseball from T-Mobile Park in Seattle as Matt Olson and the Braves take on the Seattle Mariners.
Pre-game coverage begins at 8:25 p.m. live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Give us a call, 615-844-5600. The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin.
Is the phone line and the text line. We're live today in the Strikers Bear Family Fun Center studio. Another gorgeous day. A lot of rain overnight.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this, it was going to rain that much.
Yeah. Yeah. We did have a lot of rain overnight here. And we're supposed to be, yeah, mild thunderstorms. We're supposed to be done with all that. The heat is coming on.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, high of 89 to 90.
Oh.
Okay. Oh. So get yourself ready. Okay. 89 to 90. 90 would be a record high if we hit it. First time since 1901.
Wow.
If we hit the high on 90 on Thursday. Possibility, you know, for those of you south of here, you guys have got the better shot of getting the 90. So we'll see. We'll see. But then it'll drop back up. But we're in the 80s here to stay. We're in the upper 70s, 80s portion of the year for highs. Like, I don't think we're going to go back to, mid 50s. I think we're done.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're here to stay in the, upper 60s, 70s range here for the foreseeable future. And warmer, of course, for the foreseeable future is where we're going.
I guess we're not having any luck. I don't know. I thought we were going to.
We do have some sound from the Vancouver head coach who was talking about this matchup here in Game 5. If we want to go with that a little bit while we're waiting for our guests here to connect. This is the Vancouver head coach. He's talking about his team's chances to come up with a victory here in Game 5. And if you're a Predators fan, I don't know how you quite take this. But here's the coach of the Canucks. All right, stand by. Here's the coach of the Canucks.
Well, from experience, Game 5s, right, are hard closeout games, right, for whatever reason. And I feel more comfortable going into tomorrow's game because we had an average game, let's face it. And if we played really, really well, a great game, I'd probably be a little bit more nervous tomorrow. But I don't feel nervous. I think we're going to be ready tomorrow to play.
That was Rick Tocchet.
Rick Tocchet speaking there, the Vancouver head coach, talking about the fact that they didn't really play, they played an average game is what he's calling it. They played an average game and still was able to pull it out in overtime playing an average game is what he's saying. So he believes also game fives are very difficult closeout games, which I haven't looked up the stats on that, but I can see why that would make a lot of sense. Teams don't typically want to go quiet into the night, after five games here. But again, Darren, we've been talking about the Preds getting off the mat here for Game 5 emotionally and flying across the country and doing this. That's going to be the trick. But at least that's what he thinks. But he thinks they've played average so far with a third-string goaltender and pulling it out in the last 3 minutes of the ball game and really have not played well, I guess, in the majority of the series. As you said, the Predators, you believe, should be leading the series at this point. And just haven't got the puck to bounce their way for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, but that's playoff hockey. I mean, that's what you have to expect. I mean, nobody cares about shot totals. Nobody cares about the stat sheet. I know they pass them out. They still do them. Still do the stats in the playoffs. But really, it's about, you know, just the. That's why I said it's a new season. It again, game Sunday night, if that was game 47, they win. They win 3-1. They win 4-1.
Yeah.
But that's not.
But it's not.
But it's not.
Yeah.
Because it's a level of desperation. That's what when you get to the playoffs, like every game is a level of desperation. And who wants it more? And look, you can dominate all you want. It doesn't matter. Like, were they dominant? Yeah, they were the better team on Sunday. It really wasn't that close. But in the end, it matters. It does not matter whatsoever. It's a matter of, well, Vancouver in 3 minutes turned it on.
Mm.
They went from nothing. They went from the outhouse to the penthouse.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Mm. It's painful.
But that's playoff hockey.
That's painful. It's just so disappointing as a Preds fan, that whole episode that happened there, and at just a few short seconds. Even if you're just a minor Predators fan at best, it's going to hurt you a little bit. So the Preds will try it again coming up here tonight, taking on the Vancouver Canucks out there at the Rogers Center. And yes, they'll be waving the towels, and yes, they'll be singing "O Canada." With the rest of the arena, and you know they'll be doing all their traditions, and you know they're going to be trying to have a grand old time out there at the Predators' expense. But if they can answer the bell here and get this thing back to, and here's the other thing: if the Preds are able to pull this out, you're talking about a re-energized fan base if they can get this thing back here to Nashville for Game 6. I think whatever atmosphere you were looking for, in games 3 and 4 that you didn't get, maybe comes a little stronger if they're able to get this thing back here for a Game 6 on a Friday night here in Nashville. I'm just saying, it reinvigorates the fan base a little bit.
Well, the last Friday wasn't, so.
The fan base was flat last Friday. And this is something we need to get into here with Alex in a minute, because I take exception to one of the things he said, but let's talk to him.
All right, Alex Doherty covers the Preds for the Tennessean out in Vancouver. In preparation for Game 5 tonight, it'll be probably around 9:20 Central Time when they drop the puck. Alex, how we doing?
I'm doing all right. Justin's got beef with something I said. Here we go.
Beef. Wait a minute. He's dropped the gloves already. No, it's not. I don't know about beef. Beef is way too strong of a word, my friend.
That's okay. I catch me up. What are we talking about here? I just got out of Rogers Arena, so I'm trying to get my bearings on where my hotel is, but I'm good. Yeah. So what are we talking about?
Okay. Well, I'll start here with this then, Alex. You've sent out a tweet saying that the atmosphere was lacking there at Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah.
For the Preds game in Games 3, especially, is where you started with that in Game 3, and you compared it to the atmosphere at the Rogers Center for Vancouver, and where I take exception with that statement is. And you know, again, more, you have forgotten more about hockey than I know. But you know, they haven't had a whole lot of playoff. When's the last time they played a home playoff game at the Rogers Center?
Rogers Arena. 2015.
Yeah.
It's been 9 years. So do you think they may be a little bit more jacked up for their first home playoff game in 9 years than a team that's been to the playoffs literally 16 times over the last 20 years? You know, this is whatever for the fan base. And I hate to say it that way, but yeah, they're going to be a little bit more. If you waited 9 years before the playoffs came back to Bridgestone Arena, I can promise you that crowd would be a little bit jazzed versus their first playoff game in, say, 2 years.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with you at all. And that actually, that part of it is not really something I went into, because I was really less focused on Rogers' side of it and more just focused on kind of what went wrong for the Predators' side of it from Game 3. By the way, Game 4, totally different. Game 4 was much more familiar in terms of the atmosphere, the noise, the energy, everything like that. So they made some changes. I think that's important to notice. They changed up a couple things that I mentioned. But, and Justin, actually, like, I think the people here would agree with you as well, but the part of the atmosphere here at Rogers Arena is because they haven't had this opportunity in a long time. and they haven't had a team this good in a long time. They haven't had the momentum or the perspective, where the context is what I'm trying to say, of where these two teams are at is also different. So yeah, there's a lot to that, but you know, I think it was just pretty clear. Game one and two here compared to game three in Nashville, it was like pretty different. Like it just was hard to ignore. Game four, much more like Bridgestone we're used to seeing.
I said, Alex, that you could make the case easily. It was the biggest gag job in franchise history. 25 years in existence. That was the biggest choke job playoff game that they've had in their franchise. And as Justin just said, you know, they've been going to the playoffs a lot. And that you could say that. So I've also said yesterday on the show, I've been through this so many times, just whenever, you know, everybody's the ref going one, two, three. They're getting count, you know, they're counting the Predators out. I've seen so many times in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the minute you think a team is dead, there's no way they recover. You know, every game is different. And I said, I wouldn't be surprised that they go out there and win this game. I didn't say that they're going to win the series. I said, I wouldn't be surprised if they go out there and win this game. Everybody does want to see tonight, how do they pick themselves off the mat and try to do that? What are your gut, you know, what is your gut feeling after morning skate, being in the room, feeling the vibe? I used to go off that a lot when I did that for a long time. I will say that I could get a vibe of this is a good feeling or a bad feeling. So what was your vibe from this morning in Vancouver?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Vibes matter and tone matters. And actually, I would say it started with the post-game game four. Let's start there because I think we kind of expected a shocked, you know, just like speechless kind of crowd in there. And while Gus Nyquist was definitely mad, he was very visibly frustrated after that game, the rest of the group really wasn't that upset, wasn't that maybe as, you know, just depressed about it as you might have expected. So that's that. And then today, I think it's just, it felt kind of just normal. It didn't feel like, they didn't feel amped up. They didn't feel different. There were guys joking around. There were players, you know, talking to Vancouver media about, you know, soccer games they had watched. It was really normal. It was kind of just a typical game. Reminded me a lot of games one and two out here where they felt like, all right, let's just go win a hockey game. I kind of wonder why. I kind of wonder about Brunette's mindset here because, you know, he's apparently they're not making any changes to the lineup. That's I just published that the Tennessean right now. Like they don't seem to be making any lineup changes. He made an allusion to potentially one change, but I mean I think that's just a little bit of, you know, smoke and mirrors. I don't think he's actually considering much change at all. So I think that side of it is something I would question, just because we've seen a couple players disappear, and it would be good to see someone like a Yusso Parsons or Cody Glass get a chance, but kind of don't think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see the same lineup from game four, and, you know, that's the decision that I might question going into this, but we'll see what happens.
I do agree with that, Alex. I mean, look, typically when you're losing, that's when, in a playoff series, that's when a change or two happens. I mean, you're just trying – look, coaches are – most of them, you know, hockey, you know this, they're superstitious, and, you know, like they're looking for new different mojo. They're looking for something to give your team a spark and to keep trotting out the same roster that's down 3-1 in a series. That is surprising to me. Look, he's got a better feel of that room than me, but I also have been in there a long time, and I know this is typically when coaches change something up, and that is surprising if he doesn't change anything up to keep going with a roster that's down 3-1 in a series. How do you explain this team's 12-second collapse in game two and games three and four at home? How do you explain, you know, those losses, which I said yesterday, this team could easily be up 3-1 in the series rather than down 3-1?
Yeah, easily. I mean, at the very least, tied. Yeah, I mean, it just seems like there were so many opportunities to, to win some of these games they've thrown away. How do you explain it? Well, I think you can get into a tactical discussion about, well, so-and-so shouldn't have been on that side of the ice here, or this particular, you know, player pinching up at that moment, that was probably a wrong move. Or then, of course, you could get into Colton Sissons missing the empty net. I mean, he's on his backhand, he's pressured, but he still probably has to make that play. I just think that this is a manifestation of how chaotic hockey can be. I mean, it's just you can't predict everything. It's probably the only sport in which luck makes such a big factor in what goes on in an outcome. I mean, I don't think there's anyone in that locker room that thinks they did a lot of things wrong and they just have no chance here. I think they think, wow, we did a lot of things really well. We had many chances to win, but we didn't. And the final outcome is all that matters. And you could probably see, you could see them go out tonight and play a terrible game and win. And it would be just along in line with the rest of the games in the series where Predators played really well and lost. So it's hockey. It's a crazy sport. It's full of chaos. It's unpredictable. And, you know, it's a wild thing to happen. By the way, you know, the only game that I think of when I think of just collapses for this Predators team in their history in the playoffs, and it's probably one you thought about too, is game five against the Blackhawks.
2010. Yeah, that's the only example I can come up with. Yeah, that's it.
It's like, and that one, you know, it was a different circumstance, obviously,
yep.
but probably just as equally as devastating, just the way they lost that game. So
I would agree. That's the only example I could come up with. 2010, game five. That's it, against the Blackhawks. I don't think there's, to me, it's those two and those two only. I don't think there's any way you can make any other case. How do you? Yeah, is Vancouver going with their third string goaltender again?
Well, that's the great mystery. It's probably going to be Shelov, the guy that started in Game Four. But Casey DeSmith was out there and getting work with the goaltending coach. The way Vancouver does their goalie situation, you know, for Nashville, you can know at practice, you know, if so-and-so is in the starter's net, and if they come off the ice mm-hmm. first, then that means he's starting,
yep.
which is what happened today with Saros. Saros is going to start, obviously. But for Vancouver, they have a very strange system, and they don't have a starter's net. They have certain drills that goaltenders do. Well, Shelofs was going through the starting goaltender drills, whereas DeSmith was going through some other drills. But they both kind of came off the ice at the same time. So I think Tockett is doing a little bit of,
yeah.
you know, a gamesmanship,
a
not trying to show his hand, but I think it's likely that Shelov probably starts tonight.
How big of a story has this become up there? Do they think they're in the middle of a Disney movie there in Vancouver, the fans?
Are you talking about the goaltending situation?
Yes, with the goaltending situation, yeah, where this is yeah. happening. Because, you know, listen, I thought as soon as the second string goaltender was coming in, the Preds, to me, were now favorites
right.
to win this thing.
Yeah. By the way, the Vezina finalists came out, and Thatcher Demko is on that list. They only take three finalists.
I mean,
so they don't have a guy that's up for the Vezina in net after game one. And they're right. still down 3-1 in the series.
The fact that they've had three different goalies win three different playoff games. I mean, what planet are we on?
I think the vibe, I can't really speak for the fan base necessarily, but I think the vibe from maybe the institution and the media and everything is that they feel pretty lucky to be in the position they're in. They feel like they probably dodged a few bullets here, and now all of a sudden have a 3-1 lead when, like you said, they could easily be down. And I think Tockett is probably the best. I think he feels the same. I mean, in his conferences, pre and post game, he doesn't seem like he's all that hopeful about, you know, things that he's seeing on the ice. He likes certain things. He likes the way certain players are playing, and he's proud of his, you know, goaltenders to step up. But I don't get the idea that he thinks he's, you know, running a well-oiled machine right here. You think he's got problems with the way certain players are playing and them getting kind of crushed at 5-on-5 a lot. And you know, it's just, I think they feel maybe a little bit lucky that to be in the position that they're in.
After the game, you know, the coach for the Predators, Andrew Burnett, was talking a lot about the hockey gods and, you know, if they could just get a couple things to bounce their way. And, you know, they actually felt pretty good about the way they played. And, you know, and all of this. And listen, I understand that you have to remain even keeled and optimistic. And I get all that. But after a game like that, I don't know, you know, if that is, if such an even keeled message is appropriate. It felt like maybe just a little emotion towards frustration or anger or something other than, you know, we'll be all right. It would be appropriate for considering what happened.
I think, you know, I like to try to make football analogies, not sure. Just for you, Justin, but but I think for the audience, for the audience who maybe not as big into hockey, but I think this is a bit like if you had a football team that just dominated time of possession. They had, you know, they ran the ball a lot. They scored touchdowns, but they lose in the turnover margin, right? And they throw interceptions, they fumble the ball, and they lose the game because of turnovers. If you do everything else right, if you don't turn the ball over, then you're great and you're sitting pretty and you got to win. I think it's a similar situation. So you can't come out and say, well, we just need to run the ball more or we need to score more touchdowns because we're going to have these turnovers. I think the result is they like the way they played 5-on-5. They like the even strength portion of the game is at least 80% of the game. And then on Sunday, there were, what, 3 penalties in the game? Maybe. I can't remember. I know the Predators only had one power
play. Yeah, it
was
low. Yeah, it was low.
It was a ton of even strength. So it was probably 90% of the game. And the Predators were the better even strength team. So you feel like, I think that's probably where that I like the way we played mindset comes from. It's just those late turnovers, those late in game moments where they lost their composure and they tied it up. And then, you know, the overtime goal actually, I have a bigger problem with the way the overtime goal happened than the goal to make it 3-2 and then the tying goal.
Please explain.
That was just – what's that?
Please explain.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so that was just a complete defensive breakdown. I mean, if you watch the video, the way that they're getting just kind of dominated in their own zone, two players, Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg, kind of occupy the same area. They kind of go to the same spot and – one, they don't communicate. They don't acknowledge each other. They're just kind of covering no one, and it leaves the middle of the ice wide open while the defensemen are trying to corral the puck. And that's what happened. That was a defensive breakdown. That, to me, is the bigger moment. Not the Sissons empty netter, not the last-second game-tying goal. It's that moment where all of a sudden you've got a breakdown in your structure, in your style that didn't go well. So, yeah, I just think a lot can be made about the Sissons empty netter chance, about the game tying goal. I think the overtime goal was the moment where you thought, wow, that was not good.
As we wrap this up, Alex, how high do you rank, or do I don't know, maybe you don't rank it high. I don't know what the number is. What are they, 1 of 15 for power play? I don't know what they are on the power play. I know what's
bad. I think that's right. Maybe 1 of 14.
1 of 14, 1 of 15. Do they need something in that department for them to have a chance to win Game 5, or do you think there's something else we need to pay close attention to if the Predators can have success at this? I know they haven't been winning faceoffs at all. You know, where would you turn to something, an area where they can have success that they would be coming back to play a Game 6 would be what?
Yeah, I think power play is you nailed it. I think that's got to be the make or break for this game 5. If you come out and you have a power play that scores a couple goals and gets on them early, that's the solution. But you can't count on that. You can't count on penalties being called like you couldn't on Sunday. And, you know, this power play in particular has been just bad in this series. So can they just randomly all of a sudden bust out a really nice performance? Maybe, but you know, I still think that it's about the top players playing the way they play. Philip Forsberg had the skate goal or whatever in Game 4, but outside of the first goal in game one, he hasn't really looked, or sorry, game two, he hasn't really looked like the Forsberg we know. I mean, he had a couple moments here and there, but that's it. They need more from him. Roman Josi hasn't scored yet. Ryan O'Reilly had a power play goal early, but hasn't scored since. You know, it's those guys. They've got to get production from that side, because I think the rest of the lines, except for the Novak line, has been pretty good. They just, they need more scoring from that top line.
Yeah. Good stuff as always, Alex. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the game, and gosh, I can't wait to see what happens, because none of us know, right?
Like, yeah.
Are we talking about the, you know, the season being over the rest of the week, or are we talking about a game six back at Bridgestone Arena on Friday night? It'll be fun to see how it all plays out. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk soon.
Of course. Talk to you guys later.
Be looking for Alex Doherty's coverage of the Predators at the Tennessee, and you can also follow him on X at AlexDoherty1. And look, he's out there in Vancouver covering this, so he's a good follow either way. I mean, he's a fantastic follow. So
yeah.
Appreciate him joining us. As always, we'll ride open the rest of the hour if you want to get involved. 615-844-5600. You're listening to The McFarland Show right here on WNSR.
Family talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give.
It's time to get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data, and you get to choose who joins your family plan starting as low as $25 a line.
Does it have to be family?
It can be family or people you like.
Get more lines and more savings. Switch to Straight Talk for family plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? We can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents or having to waste time showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your house to foreclosure. If you have equity in your home, we'll buy your home and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call now before your situation gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just need anymore and get the cash you need today. Call this number now.
Call 800-527-4903. That's 800-527-4903. 800-527-4903. Again, 800-527-4903.
Paid for by Airtime Media.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using Upside, the free app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back just for buying the gas I was going to buy anyway.
But is it a hassle to use?
No, it's super fast and easy, and I can cash out whenever I want.
That's a total no-brainer. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code LIFT for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's promo code LIFT. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code LIFT for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code LIFT.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
We're talking to Nick Caserio. I'm not sure how much you're willing to divulge in terms of the trade for Stephon Diggs, but how did that deal go down?
It wasn't something that we necessarily had on the radar. It wasn't necessarily something I think Buffalo was necessarily shopping. At some point, we felt there was an opportunity for us. I think if you look around the league, just teams are more open-minded. In the end, every team has to do what they feel is in their best interest. And in the end, we were able to work out an agreement with Steph and get him on the team.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
T
Text the Strike and Spare studio now at 615-844-5600. You're listening to The McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
It's always adventurous here in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center.
Never know.
Studio.
Never know.
Never know, break to break, what's going to happen. You also never know what's going to happen on the show.
No, you don't.
Like yesterday.
That's why we keep coming by here.
I still feel bad about that.
Well, thanks to Doug.
And Doug's on the line. And I'm sure we've done something else that he's probably going to scold us for.
Come on now, Doug.
Doug, what's up?
We've been good today, Doug. Hold on, Doug.
Hold on.
Doug, hold on, Doug. Doug, whatever you just said, whatever brilliance that you just said,
Damon
Doug.
Was staring at a check. Somebody sent him a check, a blank check, and he decided to take the rest of the show off. So that's why he didn't punch you.
Well, there's not much in the check. So I'm back.
So he was staring at it in disbelief.
I'm like, what is this? I don't understand.
Then he ripped it up, and then he punched you.
I want to make sure I explain that. So you.
All right. So, Doug, you're with us now. Good afternoon, sir.
I apologize.
You know, that check may have had enough zeros on there that old dudes like me don't matter, so I don't blame them.
Well, it had no zeros.
I was going to say, actually, I think it just had one zero, and that's why he tore it up.
Yeah, that's why he's dismayed.
And he decided to stay for the rest of the show.
Well, again, guys, yesterday I felt the need that, you know, we're good friends, and I just wanted to make sure that...
No, I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Big time.
Absolutely.
I honestly cannot believe that I had never heard that before. Honestly, I thought about it last night. I was like, how have I never heard the story on Jamal Charles?
Because have you ever seen him do an interview?
No, that's probably why. You're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I just knew I knew his connection to Special Olympics because I guess I'm a nerd. I read too much. And I knew the creed or the motto. So I just knew it. Could have been prefaced by representing the Special Olympics. Here's Jamal Charles. But again, you know. Maybe people knew. I just knew. So, again, I thought you guys were pretty good friends of mine. So
yes.
No, appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
I just immediately think draft. I think big old party like Nashville was. It's up in Detroit. And I'm just thinking everybody's having a good old time. And Jamal was having a good old time. So we thought we would have a good old time at his expense. And I was wrong.
Same thing with Lester Hayes. Did you ever see Lester Hayes do many interviews back in his Oakland Raider days?
No.
No, can't say I did.
Guy wasn't, he wasn't good with at the microphone. Same thing with Ricky Henderson. You know, people made fun of the Ricky-isms, but
yeah,
wasn't good dude with the microphone.
Did you ever go to a game when Ricky Henderson was playing?
Man, he's my GOAT. He's
oh, my gosh. I went to so many games when Ricky Henderson played.
The flair of Ricky is second to none.
Do you know why I'm asking? Because if you were out and if you watched him during the course of a game, it would blow your mind how much he would talk to the fan. Like that, you know, people would be, you know, whether they were chanting at him or saying nice things or saying mean things, he was constant. At least the games I went to, always engaging with the fans. And sometimes, you know, he'd flex his muscles or, you know, like say, "I see you, I'm coming after you." I mean, he would do all kinds of crazy stuff. I would watch him, Doug, literally pointing at fans, talking to them, not even paying attention to the play, and the ball's hit to him, and he still made the play. And would turn around and look at him like, yeah.
I'm that guy.
I'm that guy.
Thought Hall of Fame induction, and just for kicks and giggles, you know, I mentioned him. I looked at it again last week just because, to me, he's the GOAT. I think he was close to going into Hall unanimously, and one dude just decided he didn't deserve it. He's stupid.
Yeah. I think he was 99.9 or something, yeah.
Yeah, I think he also, the famous story on, you know the famous story on Ricky Henderson, right? His first bonus, the bonus check.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys heard that
no,
one?
No, I haven't. I don't think I have.
He framed it.
I'll hang on.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
He framed it.
He framed the bonus check?
Yeah. Nice. Problem is he didn't deposit it or cash it first. He just framed it.
Good for him. The career worked out, so there was more money to come.
I think it was like $1 million.
Again, good for him. There was more money to come. So he didn't have to worry about it as much.
Let's go to Mike. Mike, what's up?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, I just caught the tail end of the talking about Ricky Henderson. Yeah, I got when I was a bat boy in Texas, I got the chance. I was for the Vincent team and got the chance to to watch him play quite a bit. He was quite an athlete with the power and the speed. He could pretty much do it all. And he let himself know that he was good. When he broke the record, he said, I'm the greatest of all time.
He was not bashful.
Talk a little bit about Vandy baseball. I know people want to question Corbin the other day, and I understand. So the guy from Mississippi State, he did the day before. He had two home runs and a double. Now, Friday night, he didn't have a hit, two walks. Sunday, he was 0-for-3, okay? He's batting about 370, had 11 home runs for the year. So he's not a great power hitter. Now, the guy hitting behind him had three hits for the day. So, I mean, and Corbin just, that sometimes you just say, we're going to go get him. We're going to go get him. And like he said he didn't throw the pitcher under the bus either. Miller Green, he'd gotten 8 or 9 guys out. He did not throw him under the bus, like somebody said. He said, we didn't execute the pitch. Mm-hmm. He was probably supposed to pitch him low and away, mm-hmm. like he did the first pitch. Second pitch, he didn't. So that's just baseball for you, you know. If you put him on, the next guy gets a hit. And then somebody mentioned the week before about walking Cagliano. That was a different situation. You know, he was going for a record. He'd already batted 3 or 4 times mm-hmm. that day and didn't get a home run.
Yep.
He came up there up 6-2, down second base, so Corbin puts him on. So not to give up a 2-run home run. So it had nothing really to do with sportsmanship or anything. It just, you know, I just don't get how these people who probably never played the game at a major level or managed it, and they want to be so critical. That is baseball for you. I mean, there's only one player in the history of the game I know of, Barry Bonds, that was intentionally walked time after time, even with bases loaded.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
That is true.
When he was in his heyday, I don't even know. We'd have to go back and look. Like, his walks per season were off the charts.
Not just walks, intentional walks at that.
Yes.
But, Mike, you and people like my father, you guys have watched more baseball than anybody I can think of outside of people, you know, who are just like Tim Corbin, who are professional at, you know, like I do, the debate about whether or not to walk a guy or pitch to him is literally the oldest argument in baseball. And I was bringing this up to Darren the other day. There were guys wearing top hats and ties sitting in stands in places that have long been torn down, debating about whether or not the manager should have walked the guy or pitched to him. This is a old argument, older than the game itself. So, yeah, I mean, everybody's going to have an opinion on it, and the manager's either a genius or an absolute idiot based on the turnout.
The outcome, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I'm reading a book about Whitey Herzog, you know, passed away a few weeks ago. And mm-hmm. a part yesterday, you know, in his early managing days, and a general manager was trying to make decisions over him and just the fans, and he's like, hey, guys, it's not like we fell off the back of a turnip truck. We've grown up playing this ball. Played in the major league 6 or 7 years, and he was in player development. He coached. He played. But some of these other people, they think they're smarter than these guys. It's just things are going to happen. The greatest manager of all time, I'm sure, made a few mistakes. Everything didn't always work out. But I admire Corbin for letting those guys go after him, and I'm sure the players do too. You know, because if they're ever going to play my pro ball, they're going to have to go after guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it just came down. It was the 9th inning, and the base was open, and he hit it out. But, you know, the very first inning, he had a weak pop up to the third baseman.
I say, I've had this conversation with my parents.
It happens
all the time in travel ball. If I knew what was going to happen, I promise you I'd be the smartest coach you knew. If I knew what was going to happen in our baseball game. If I knew the outcome, I promise you I'd be a way smarter coach. But that's just like you said, Mike. You play the percentages, right? You go with your gut. You know your kids, or in this case, you know your players, and you make a decision based off that, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. That's how it goes.
You got that. That's part of being a manager in baseball so much as the strategy. I don't think you have that so much in basketball and football. It was a little bit, but I think baseball is all about the strategy.
No question. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call.
We got to go, Mike.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap up Tuesday's edition of the McFarland Show next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my entire family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right?
80% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Ooh, pass me the intercom thingy.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Don't pay for water. Pay for clean. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Pods.
Water content based on the Leading Bargain liquid detergent.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Stirring fiber, exercising, frequent trips to the store for more laxatives and fiber. Sounds like your constipation with belly pain is a lot to manage. But if your symptoms that keep coming back are signs of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C, ask your doctor how Linzess can help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Tyler from Wendy's here. The best part of Wendy's new Cinnabon Pull-Apart is every part. Unlike mornings, which have no good parts, until now. Because with Wendy's new breakfast Cinnabon Pull-Apart, mornings finally don't completely suck. And now that mornings have warm cinnamon sugar rolled dough and ooey gooey frosting, are they the best part of every day? Probably not, but you get the idea. Get to Wendy's today and get the best part in every bite with the new Cinnabon Pull-Apart.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, Cinnabon is a registered trademark of Cinnabon franchise or SPV LLC.
It's a Bill King Show.
We are college football centric. That is the sun that warms our planet that we live on. Our planet actually isn't flat or round. It's an oblong spheroid. And we are here to proselytize about it, edify it every day on this here radio show.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
The McFarland Show, broadcasting live in Rutherford County on 107.9 FM.
Good bump music.
There you go.
Enjoy that. Look, and the other part of the question is, that's okay. That's what this forum is for. People
sure.
don't have to. People are allowed to vent. They're allowed to. But it is. Look, it's why
You're allowed to question Tim Corbin. I mean, not beyond reproach.
No.
You can question Tim Corbin.
I don't coach at the level that he does, obviously. I'm in a small little, I'm not even in a pond. I'm in a little fishbowl.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm the goldfish, the one goldfish in the kids' room. That's it. I understand it. Like, I get it. And I'm serious. Like, I've had those. Man, if you just would have batted him here or just played so-and-so there. I was like, yeah, I you don't think I don't know that? If I knew that's how I was going to
sure.
Or by the way, you know how many times I've called a pitch, and that's not the pitch that they pitched, and guess what?
Yeah.
Bad things happen. And I'm like, what do I do, roll it?
If you knew the pitcher couldn't execute the pitch, you wouldn't have gone out there like
that. We told the pitcher, And they didn't pitch what they shook us off.
Is what it is.
So, all right. Good stuff. We'll see what happens tonight. Game 5 in Vancouver. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. You've been listening to the McFarland Show here.
Braves baseball tomorrow.
Yep. WNSR.
Nationwide, this is the Zach Gelb Show.